Alive. Thank you for coming and joining. It's Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and we are going to explore the theme of Shvat and be inspired by Shvat. Thank you again to Esther Lerner for sponsoring this year. Happy birthday. And you should have a year of Hatzlacha and Bracha, with good health and Nachas and Parnasa. Great way to start your new year. And very excited. Thank you for your support. It means a lot to me. And thank you to Shoshana Liance and Danielle for organizing. And yeah, come on in. We're just starting. So this month, I'm going to start with a story. Story of the Friedrich Rebbe that I had never heard of before. And this month, of course, is the Friedrich Rebbe's yard site, so he is very connected with this month. So before the Friedrich Rebbe became Rebbe, his father, the Rebbe Rashab, used to send him on missions. And there are several stories that the Rebbe Rashab would send his young son, who was Rebbe Yosef Yitzchak, he would send him to Moscow, to St. Petersburg, and he would go and intercede with the government officials to avert decrees. There would be anti-Semitic decrees, and he would go and he was a lobbyist. Yes, yeah. He didn't get like the big money they get, but he was a lobbyist. He also put his life in danger. So one time, the Friedrich Rebbe went. And he went to Petersburg, and he's trying to avert this decree that's hanging on their heads. Nothing's going on. He can't make any headway. So he comes back to his father, and he says to the Rebbe Rashab, look, the only thing we can do is pray. I can't do anything. The Rebbe Rashab said, go back and try again. And he asked, until what point should I risk myself? And the Rebbe said, to the point of self-sacrifice, even your life. So he goes back to St. Petersburg, and he's talking and connecting, and he finds out that there is a minister who is very religious himself and is very respectful of religious people. So he works on getting an appointment with this minister, and it's not so easy, and the only appointment is Saturday morning. So Saturday morning it is, otherwise known as Shabbos. So the other issue is that this minister lived out of the town. He lived out of Petersburg. And there's a thing, Tchum Shabbos, you're not allowed to walk too much in undeveloped land on Shabbos. So the Friedrich Rebbe could not stay in Petersburg and walk. He had to stay in this little hamlet. This little hamlet had no Jews, nowhere friendly for him to stay. There was one place he could stay, and that was the tavern, the local bar. So Friday afternoon, the Friedrich Rebbe arrives at this bar. You can imagine Friday night, Russia, whole bunch of men drinking. It's a dangerous place for a young bearded rabbi. And the Friedrich Rebbe walks in. He's very calm. He sits down. He starts kibitzing. He's putting everyone at ease. He's you know, joking with them. And he spends the night there, and everyone accepts him, and he's good. He's safe. In the morning, he davens in a corner. He goes to the minister. It's not recorded what happened, but the decree never came about. He was successful in his mission. Comes back to the tavern, spends the rest of Shabbos there, and then leaves. So what is the lesson in this story? Anyone want to just hazard a guess? Because make it work. Yeah, don't give up. Like, keep going.
When you're committed, then Hashem blesses you.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And there's another thing that I saw here that is really a theme through the Friedrich Rebbe's life. And that is that the Friedrich Rebbe was connected to Hashem. It didn't matter where he was. Remember, they put the gun to his head. He said, I have two lives. He came from God. So he was in an inn, in a tavern with a whole bunch of drunks. He was godly. He was right there from God. And this is connected with Shvat. This is a huge concept of Shvat, which is why it's so appropriate that the Friedrich, you know, nothing is by accident. Everything is very calculated. His yard site's in this month. So Shvat, what word is like Shvat? Yes, Shevet. Who said that? Thank you, Shevet. Oh, I wanted to have the Hebrew. Lekam Shevet B'Yisrael. Oh, it's from Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu blesses Yehuda, and he says that there will not come a Shevet, a rod in Yehuda, until Ad Yavai Shiloh, until Shiloh comes, we're talking about Mashiach. So Shevet is connected with the concept of Mashiach. So yes, so that's a clue here as we build our clues. What other word? It's a word every single one of you knows that is very close to Shvat. Yes, Shabbat. Exactly. A tet and a taf, they're very similar. So Shabbos. What is the concept of Shabbos? The concept of Shabbos is that it has an, it's the day of the week where we acknowledge Hashem. Hashem created the world. We acknowledge Hashem, we acknowledge the blessings of the week come from Shabbos. It's a moment for us to stop and rest and connect with Hashem. So this again, these are all different things. We're going to build up different things and see how they all come into Shvat, into this concept of I am from a godly place and I'm out here in this world. And it's very connected to this world. Like Shabbos is connected to the week. It's like it's supposed to flow into the week. You get your energy from, hopefully, from Shabbos, from the rest. Another thing about Shvat is, we said Shevet, and we said Shabbos. Oh, the acronym, which is just the positivity. The Friedrich Rebbe said this. Shenishma Besurot Tovot. Shin Vei Tet. It's an acronym that we should hear good news. Shvat is just this incredibly positive month. So it's different than the other months before. So what I actually want to do is just do a really quick recap of other months just to compare it to Shvat, because it has like its whole different energy, but it's all built since Elul. So I'm just going to put in here, because it's in my notes, Moshe Rabbeinu translated the Torah into 70 languages in Shvat. He started on Shvat. And what's how does that fit in with the whole theme is that we're taking something that is holy, the Torah, and we're making it into this world. It's also the water carrier is the sign, Aquarius, right? The water carrier. Yeah. So water, again, it comes up from high and it flows down. You know, it flows down from the top to the rivers and the lakes and into the ocean and all that, for anyone who learned it in high school. So it's Shvat is very much his concept of high, I'm coming from a high place, and I'm going deep into this world. But I'm in a very connected place. So if we could just look, because I find it very, very interesting. So this shir, most of us are new to this shir. It's a new shir, pretty much. So what happened was, I guess in Elul, I've always been fascinated by the months. Yeah? Okay. Other people too, right? Huh? Yes. It's fascinating. So what I wanted to do is go through all the months of the year and see how they flow. And what's the journey of the year. And my goal in L is like I want to be a different person in some way by the time I get to next year. So I'm like, if I go through every month, and if I teach every month and I learn it with other people, then by the time we get to next year, we will have really taken advantage of the year and be in different people. Because there's that cycle of the year, and we do the same thing every year. Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, you know, we've got the same Yom Tovim. But every year, we're supposed to be experiencing it in a different way. Because we have new experiences, we have... Hello, welcome. that's my kids and granddaughter. So anyway, so we're just talking about the months. Hi, guys. So Elul, I'm going to start with Elul, even though Tishrei is the beginning of the year, but you need Elul before Tishrei. Any big event, like Tishrei, New Year, you need preparation before, right? There's always that preparation period, the lead up until. This is the lead up to your birthday. So Elul is a month of love. Ani ledodi vedodi li. It's a month where Hashem is the king in the field, and we're just, there's this feeling of love, and Hashem is waiting for us to approach him. Then Tishrei is reciprocal love, ledodi li. Those got the sukkah. Hashem is surrounding us. Hashem is protecting us. So that's in general. There's a whole shiur on that. Cheshvan, after all that intense stuff, we've got integration. A month where Hashem says, just take all these big experiences of Elul and Tishrei and integrate it. Put it into your life. And then we have Kislev. We're in the year, and there's darkness, and there are challenges, and it's not easy, and we could get subsumed by whatever it is going on. And we have Hanukkah, and we're like, light up the darkness. One light at a time, build a light. And then we have Teves. Teves comes from the root word of Tov. Tevet, Tov, good. Tova. And so we take, it's kind of like Cheshvan, in that we take the power of Hanukkah and we turn it into good and we find the good. But now in Shvat it's a shift, and we have the rebirth of the soil in Israel, and we're coming from a totally positive place. We're not dealing with darkness. We're just coming from pure connectedness. So let's look at there are three big days. So we'll look at those three big days, which is Yud Shvat and Chaf Beis Shvat and Tu B'Shvat, of course. So Yud Shvat is the day that the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, who was in the story at the beginning, which you guys can hear later, and it's the day that a year later the Rebbe received, he became Rebbe. So the Rebbe noted that he became Rebbe on the 11th day of the 11th month in the 11th year. It was 1951, it's the 11th month, and Yud Aleph was the first day of his nesius, of his leadership. So what's 11? What's 11? So I'll give you a hint, 11 is like 8.
So it's supernatural, why? One past?
Exactly, it's one above nature.
Because of Yud, it's one more? I mean,
what is Yud? What's 10?
Yes,
the Sphiris. Exactly. So the Sphiris, the Sphirot, are the spiritual makeup of the world. So God makes arrangements of spirituality so that he can create this world. So Yud Aleph, one more than the spiritual makeup, is the essence of God. But it's still connected with the spheres. It's
like
still
Yechida?
Connected with this word,
is it,
huh?
Is it connected with Yechida on some level? You love it?
I mean, the Yechida is your essence.
Right.
So I would say yes, it's that one. So eight is also above nature, but it's different. Seven are the 7 days of creation. So we're not talking about the spiritual makeup of the world. We're talking about the actual world. So Hanukkah is eight. It's like miracles that happen above nature that are in this world. Whereas here we're talking more a spiritual sense of I'm coming from this essential godliness and I'm in this world. Very similar, but just like that subtle kind of difference. So all of this energy, what's cool about all of this energy, is that it gives us the opportunity to channel that energy. If your birthday was in Elul or Tishrei 6 months ago, and I say to you, happy birthday today, it's really not going to mean much. But if I say happy birthday to Esther, sorry, it's your birthday, that is meaningful. So timing is everything. So Shvat, this timing of the month, it gives us the opportunity to access this energy of godliness and to be in this world and be connected. So I'm just going to go back a couple years to Gimel Tammuz, the year that happened. I was a head counselor Manalapan, New Jersey, and people said, well, now that Gimel Tam has happened, I guess you guys going to close up shop? You guys going to stop? What's going to be with Chabad? It was a really, like, they thought we're going to close down all the Chabad houses or something. You know, people were really curious. They were really curious what's going to happen. We did not, you know, if anything, more and more and more and more started happening. So what is it? How are we doing that?
Using the energy of the Rebbe.
To the Rebbe, to Hashem.
To the above, right? The Rebbe is continuously living. So
the Rebbe is without any boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. It's that essential connection. I remember actually once you said to someone about this, how could you be connected if you were even born after Gimel Tammuz? And you're like, because, do you remember what you said? So it was great. It was at the Finers at a Sheva Brachas, I remember. And Basi said something like, before Gimel Tammuz, you could have a very superficial relationship with the Rebbe, where you go for dollars or you listen to a sikha. Yeah. But afterwards,
you have to work.
You have to connect. You have to learn. You have to really give of your inner self to have that connection. And that's an essential connection. That is okay. So this shiur, I'm going to share this shiur, the story, because this shiur is directly because of the Rebbe. And when I say direct, I mean direct. Okay, so you've heard this story. I'm going to say it for everyone else. So basically, at the beginning of every month, B'li Ayin Hara, I write a duch to the Rebbe. So I sit down and I write what I did this past month. And last month, I did not give this shiur. It's a new shiur. I didn't give this shiur.
Only so, when you do the shiur, you write to the Rebbe, or in general?
Every month. Rosh Chodesh of the month, sometimes, okay, around Rosh Chodesh, I write in. And it's an accounting, no matter what, yeah. It's if you've never tried it.
It's beautiful.
I was actually inspired by that young lady over there to do it. There's shluchim, and they were for bringing with some high schools, and they said that every Matzei Shabbos, this couple, they sit down and they write a duch to the Rebbe. They write down to the Rebbe everything they did that past week. I heard this years ago. That made such an impression on me. So it took me like 15 years till I started integrating that to my life. But Racheli Machnik and her husband. There we go. So anyway, so last month, I write. So I start at the beginning of the month. So what's the first thing I tell the Rebbe? I didn't do this. I canceled the shiur because it was too much for me, and I didn't think I could do it. And then I go on to say everything I did do during the year. Okay. So I told this to two people who laughed. They're like, "What do you think the Rebbe's going to give you a free pass on that one? Oh, you poor thing. Too much to do. You know? No." So I put the letter in Igris. I was very blessed to get a very direct answer. Here is a free translation. It was to Reb Dov Ber and his wife Rachel. I don't know who they are. It was the first paragraph. And the Rebbe actually wrote, "It's been a long time since you wrote." The Rebbe really wants us to write to him. He really wants us to connect him. And then he says, In connection to preparing for talks with gatherings of women and Benos Chabad, you can use talks that were already published. There are over 300 volumes from which you can take rich material. Just in case I was going to say there isn't any good material there, you could take rich material.
No excuses.
And because this work is so correct, certainly you will find a way, and you will try several ways until you find the right way to do it.
Wow.
And when I started, I really wasn't sure how I was doing it, organized, like, I didn't know. So. And then, just in case I still had any doubts in my mind, the Rebbe continues, Hashem gives a reward for this in this world. The fruits are nachas. Chassidish and nachas from the children. So I, like, you know, not arguing. Yeah. And Hashem should help you say good news in everything that was said.
Amen.
So
beautiful.
That really, I was like, I texted Shoshana. I'm like, oh, we're doing the shiur this month.
When I saw the flyer about it, I was surprised. I said, oh, I thought you gave up because you did it once.
I sort of did give up.
And I remember it was raining the first time you did. Remember?
Yes, it was raining.
It was a few people, and I said, you know, because there is another shiur of Mrs. Shanovitz.
Right, at 11:30. Well, you are right, but I am continuing. I'm continuing with this shiur. So that is the Rebbe's leadership and influence right here, right now. I don't need to give you any stories from anybody else. And I just want to say that this Chasidus Shenachas is for all of us, for ourselves from learning, for our children, for the little babies that have joined us here today, and everybody else. Learning gives us all this nachas. So that's it. So the Rebbe wants us to connect. So Yud Shvat, Y.Y. Jacobson, Rabbi Yossi Jacobson spoke, and he said it's not about the Rebbe miracles, it's about how we are taking the Rebbe's message and approach to life and going forward. Yeah, like the Rebbe's not going to say give up, yeah. You know, that's not happening. So when we speak about the Rebbetzin, his wife, his partner, is right there. And so her yard site is in this month as well. So we've got the previous Rebbe, the Rebbetzin, and the Rebbe. I'm going to say a story that I don't think has ever been told publicly about the Rebbetzin because it happened to my mother. It's not a miracle story. I think it's a great story. My mother was involved in editing the Yiddish Haim, and when this is many years ago, huh? Esther Serebransky. Yeah. So this is, oh, help me, 19, a long time ago. 50 years ago, 60 years ago, she was involved in editing. So at some point, my mother went to the Rebbetzin to deliver a Yiddish Haim. To give to the Rebbetzin. So knocks on the door, and a woman answers, the Rebbetzin's attendant or housekeeper or someone, and she lets my mother in. My mother says, thank you, hello, whatever. And the Rebbetzin thanked my mother. She said, thank you so much. I feel so bad because so many people ignore the lady that opens the door. And they just walk right in. They just ignore her. And my mother, if you know my mother, my mother said hello, thank you, whatever she said, and the Rebbetzin thanked her. So I just think the Rebbetzin, this is just one tiny story about the respect and the regalness?
Yeah.
Is that the correct?
Regality.
Of the Rebbetzin, she was so regal. And this is Shvat, she's coming from a place of purity, a place of essence. And it's right into, did you say hello to the person who opened the door for you? You know, it's right in this world, but it's coming from a very, very, very pure essence. I remember years ago, I was told a chassid makes an impact wherever he goes. And we don't realize when we walk around the impact we can make just by being who we are. And just by being an example, you make an impact, and we really have no idea the impact we make. I also just want to mention the marriage of the Rebbe and Rebbetzin. Like, what an incredible synthesis, the incredible respect and love. The Rebbe would have tea with the Rebbetzin every day. He said it was as important as putting on tefillin for him. Yes, he told that to his doctor. They used to have tea every day.
And she waited up. She waited up for him. And so if he came home at 3 in the morning, she was there waiting for him and had tea with him.
I mean, this was a power couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, total support of each other, mission aligned. So I just think it's just such an incredible role model for us in all our relationships.
Yeah.
So Yud Shvat, okay, so we did Chof Beis Shvat and Yud Shvat. Shvat is this Shabbos approach. So I just want to take a quick detour into the Parshias, because it's really cool, because every month the Parshias connect with the theme of the month. So it's really cool. So what do we have? We have Parshas Bo, where we have the end of the Makos, the beginning of redemption. B'Shalach is we have the splitting of the sea. We have the exit. We have redemption, Exodus. Yisrael, we get the Torah. And then Mishpatim are laws in everyday language. And one of the everyday, you know, laws about slaves and money and injury and stuff like that. So it's actually, it fits in perfectly. Because you've got the essence, you have Hashem coming down into this world, you have the concept of that, and you have the concept that we bring it right into the daily living life, into Mishpatim, this essence of Hashem, this holiness. It's also J-Dame, Jewish Disability Awareness Month. And in Jewish Disability Awareness and Inclusion Month is February, which happens to fall out in Shvat this year. So I'm just putting a plug for J-Dame. But it's very appropriate because it's about respecting everyone and seeing that everyone is godly and everyone is here for a purpose and is made by God and to respect that. So there's programs all over the place. So there's one more thing, one more big thing in Shvat, and that is Tu B'Shvat, birthday of the trees. So I was speaking with my cousin this morning, and he said, you know, Tu B'Shvat, it's like it's someone else's Yom Tov. It's the tree's birthday. It's not our, you know, we didn't get released from Egypt, we didn't get the Torah, it's the trees. He says, it's almost like we're onlookers on the trees, you know? I thought that was a really interesting thing to think about. I'm just going to pause. Any questions or comments before I go into Tu B'Shvat? No? Okay. Fine. So Tu B'Shvat is a day that the strength of the soil in Israel is renewed. So we're in the middle of winter over here. It feels like spring, Baruch Hashem, in California. But the strength of the soil is renewed, and we begin calculating Maaser. The tenth of the produce starts from Tu B'Shvat, and Arla, the rules about when you can eat fruit from a tree, not for the first 3 years, it starts from Tu B'Shvat. So it's a day that's very much connected with Eretz Yisrael, that the energy of the land of Eretz Yisrael is renewed. So we eat fruit from Israel, we have the Sheva Minim, and we celebrate our connection to Israel. And we're celebrating these trees and their spirituality, the trees, and why are trees so important? Like, why do trees get their own birthday? Yes, Ki Adam Eitz Hasadeh. Yes? Yes, they give us air. So,
we make wood,
yes,
from their wood,
huh? we trees, we need trees for so many things. Yes, for furniture and food. So it's actually really interesting because being in California, I was thinking, actually someone told me that I'm a bit of a liberal recently. So I was like, but you know, this is very Jewish. Because if we're thinking about environmentalism and caring for the trees and stuff, I'm like, let's look at Tu B'Shvat. Let's look at ancient Jewish truths about this. You know, I think I'm in sync here. So Tu B'Shvat, Adam Eitz Hasadeh, that is right. For man is a tree of the field. And I love it because that quote actually comes in talking about war. And if the Torah says in a war, if there's a fruit tree, you're going to cut it down? Just because it's like in your way, is it like a man that you have to like make it suffer because you're in a war? Like it's a tree, leave it alone. It didn't do anything to you. So that's Ki Adam Eitz Hasadeh. And of course there is so much on this. We're gonna touch on the points that connect here. Fruit trees in particular are super important. You're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree. It's like really not just California law about you can't cut down a tree without permission. It's a really big halacha. Trees are super important, and trees are connected to us. So what we're saying is that everything in this world we can learn from, and we're connected. You know that there are four levels of creation: inanimate, animate, animals, and then humans. But every single one of us has all aspects of those within us. And even, I remember, like, for a mountain, mountains grow. Some mountains grow and some mountains become less. And that is the aspect of animal and human, I guess, in an inanimate thing. We all have aspects within ourselves of various things. I wish I knew what aspects of inanimate we have in ourselves. Maybe
well,
it's when we sleep.
Maybe our nails. Maybe it's
our nails.
Something that's not. It's dormant. It doesn't have a life force.
Yeah. So trees are compared to us, and I have this beautiful reading that we're going to do. The trees, the Baal Shem Tov said that trees, that every leaf has a purpose. So I think just looking at a simple level, a tree reminds us that everything... a tree reminds us that everything is very connected with Hashem. Like a tree gives us food and everything, but yet it's a very spiritual, every leaf has a purpose. It's a very spiritual being and an important being, and we have to treat it with a lot of respect. There's so much about trees. One of them is fruit, that our fruit are the good deeds that we do and the impact that we have on others. And our learning is our leaves, because leaves provide energy. They create through photosynthesis. They create food. And so our learning sustains us and gives us the energy. Our roots are our emunah, our faith, and our and what we learn from others. So we're compared to trees. There's many different aspects of trees. But I think for today's purpose, we will read this beautiful thing that I got from Chabad.org. I found this a long time ago, and it's one of my favorite, favorite things. Do we have enough copies? Yay! Okay. That's wonderful. Could we just please share a few? Thank you so much. That's wonderful. Okay. I actually would love if we could go around and we'll pass this around and people can each just read some of the questions. Would you like to start?
Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of the Hebrew month of Shvat, is known as the new year for trees. Naturally, this would be a time for trees to engage in soul searching, the same way people do on Rosh Hashanah. Here is a tree's New Year's checklist.
Thank you. Did I shelter the seedlings that live in my shade so they will grow up to be a next generation like myself?
Did I grow towards the sun as a tree should, reaching up higher and higher towards that which I can never grasp, but which nurtures me all the same the more I strive towards it?
Okay. Did I make sure my roots remain firmly planted in the soil that nurtures them? And did I drop my leaves there in the fall to give back life to that which sustains me?
This is by Rabbi Shlomo, by the way.
Say hi. Did I ensure that my fruits were sweet and nourished all that my fruits were sweet and nourished all that came to enjoy them? Did everyone walk away from me with a smile? Yes.
Did I bend gently in the wind, accepting what God sends but never breaking or giving up hope?
Did I grow in strength and wisdom with each new ring this year? Come to think of it, not a bad checklist for us humans either.
Thank you.
That's really lovely.
Yeah,
nice, yeah.
One of my favorites, so. We can make more copies for those people that didn't get. Yes, please keep it. Please keep it and share it. So I just want to conclude that this month It's actually really interesting. I'll conclude with this about eating. Someone actually asked me about eating. Eating is very connected with Tu B'Shvat. And, yes, the Seder, and that we eat fruits. And also, some people fast during the month of Shvat. There's some kind of, yeah, I never heard of it before. But it's also about, like, taking care of yourself, and trees are, like, I don't know, you take care of the trees, you take care of yourself, nourishing yourself, how trees grow. So there's, like, this whole thing about Tu B'Shvat and connecting that concept to Shvat in general is that we want to come to our lives from a place of holiness. We want to come to our lives from a place where we feel connected, connected with the Rebbe, connected with Hashem, where we are connected with our neshama. That's what we want to come. And then this flows into everything that we do, into our food, into our manners, into saying hello, into the respect we have for trees. It flows into everything. So this should be just a beautiful month. Shenishma Besurot Tovot. That's the acronym. We should hear good news and a really positive month. And thank you so much for joining and being part of this women's thing together.